Good morning, Los Angeles, and welcome to another edition of the Weekend Warrior Show. I'm your host, Dr. Robert Clapper. I'm an orthopedic surgeon at Cedars-Sinai for 30 years. Did 53 surgeries in the month of May. I'm just tired thinking about it. So interesting how the body works. Your body works. We talk all week about the Warriors, literally the Golden State Warriors, and now Kawhi Leonard. Look at those injuries. Kevin Durant's calf, Kawhi Leonard in his calf. His quad. Yeah, you got the same body they got. That's why we have the Weekend Warrior Show, because those injuries affect you as well. I want you to understand the anatomy so that you can sit with your family and friends and go, you know what Dr. Clapper said? He said my ankle's a lot like a bicycle, the kickstand's a lot like the ligament. And they'll go, what?
Dr. Clapper.
And you're going to say, yeah, that's a Clapper vision. I love it. But the basketball is amazing. I can't wait to watch the game because Toronto is going to give them a run for the money and may actually win the whole series, which nobody predicted that one. But the other team, the team in L.A. that's on fire, it's like Alicia Keys. This girl is on fire, right? The other team, L.A.'s own team that's on fire, are the Dodgers. I was going to do a whole show about pizza and this and that, but I cannot ignore what's happening with the Dodgers. Dave Roberts, amazing. Andrew Friedman, the bar mitzvah boy. I know, take it easy. I'm not going to be politically incorrect here, but his name is Andrew Friedman. He had to have had a bar mitzvah. I could totally relate to that. But he put together this team, and you got to give him credit. But I can't help but go back when I think of the Dodgers, when many of you think of the Dodgers, who do we think about? The last time they won the World Series. Who was the manager? Tommy Lasorda. So in the back of my mind, I was going to do a whole show about pizza. We had this guy who's going to be calling in who does this pizza show on YouTube. But I couldn't stop thinking about the other Italian, Tommy Lasorda. Because Tommy Lasorda is special. Still alive, God bless him. He's the oldest Hall of Famer around. Been with the Dodgers almost 70 years in some way, shape, or form. But what did he do to create this aura of success? He's Italian-American, and I believe it's both. The Italians have this zest for life, a joy. They don't take things that seriously, and yet they embrace the American idea of risk-taking, and it's a beautiful combination. Let's listen to Tommy Lasorda. I want you to pay attention to that accent, that Italian-American accent, and that risk-taking, creativity, cleverness, confidence, but playfulness. Because we're going to get into that spirit in art. Who's my favorite Tommy Lasorda character in the art business? It's got to be The Godfather. It's got to be Marlon Brando. But wait till you hear the story of the Italian-American Francis Ford Coppola, the director, the book written by Mario Puzo, the writer, how Francis Ford Coppola was told flat out, no, by the studio, you're not having Marlon Brando. He's too much of a risk. But Francis Ford Coppola is Tommy Lasorda. He's creative, he's confident, and determined. It's that Italian plus American. And what about in sports? It's got to be Yogi Berra, the greatest catcher probably in baseball, and certainly the greatest for the Yankees. But why? It goes back to his Italian-American roots, and I'm going to explain. Let's listen to Tommy Lasorda and why this is so special and why it's today's topic.
When I thought about him when he came here and I saw him pitch and the way he pitched, I thought that he didn't have much inside here. He was a negative pitcher. Every ball he threw with a negative attitude. And then I had that famous one-on-one meeting with him. I told him he was scared. I didn't like his name.
Oral.
I think he should be given another name. So I said, you pitched yesterday like a scared dog. So from now on, your name is Bulldog. I'm going to call you Bulldog, and you'll be a Bulldog, and you'll act like a Bulldog. And that's what happened. He acted like a Bulldog, and he changed and pitched like a Bulldog. And of course, we broke a record that I never thought would be broken, Drysdale's 58 and two-thirds inning.
Just like Bob Clappish taught us a few weeks ago as my guest, the baseball writer. You know, nowadays they got 25 people looking at a computer deciding who to pitch to and how to pitch and squeeze play and this and the percentages, all the sabermetrics. 1988, it was Tommy Lasorda going, you can play, you can't play. You can pitch, you can't pitch. But this confidence, this spirit, it's inspiring. Where do we see it in art? You gotta love this scene.
We've known each other many years, but this is the first time I came to the council.
This is Marlon Brando talking.
I can't remember the last time that you invited me to your house for a cup of coffee. Even though my wife is godmother to your only child. But let's be frank, yeah. You never wanted my friendship. And you were afraid to be.
But here's what I want to tell you.
I didn't want to.
That's Marlon Brando. Playing in Italian, because his name has a vowel at the end, but Marlon Brando is actually not Italian. But the genius, the brains behind getting him to play the Godfather is from an Italian-American, and it's from Francis Ford Coppola. Sit back and enjoy this story that you're about to hear of how nobody wanted Marlon Brando to play the Godfather except Marlon Brando. Like Tommy Lasorda, saw in Oral Hershiser something special. Just like Michelangelo, the sculptor, this creativity that comes from being Italian, but this determination and risk-taking and confidence when you blend American with Italian. Listen to Francis Ford Coppola talk about the creation of his vision of who should be in The Godfather. He wanted Marlon Brando and no one else.
Marlon Brando was an extraordinary person to work with, but it was magical. It wasn't, you didn't talk acting stuff with him. He'd come in and go, and that meant, where is the shot? And I would work with him through props. I would put little salami out, or I would take a cat and just put, but not words. I would never talk about acting stuff. He would hate it if I talked about, you know, kind of acting talk. But I always worked with props and, you know, kind of offered him things that might help him in his. But he was a man of incredible intelligence, aside from acting, just as a human being. What he was interested in, what he talked about, what he observed, he was pretty remarkable.
Coppola was not making this movie unless Marlon Brando was going to play the Godfather. Tommy Lasorda was not going to win a World Series in his mind unless he got Oral Hershiser to become the Bulldog. Yogi Berra is the most, he played in more World Series games. He won 13 World Series, 10 as a player. He's the greatest catcher ever. 5'7" tall, totally underestimated, but that was the greatest catcher. Here's Francis Ford Coppola continuing with the Marlon Brando story. Oh, this is so great.
The studio didn't want Brando, and I was told by the president of Paramount Pictures, Francis, Marlon Brando will not appear in this movie, and I forbid you, as president of Paramount, to bring his name up again. And at which time I fell on the floor in a faint, and I like had a, you know, I did it deliberately, and they said, what? I said, well, if I can't even talk about it, then what kind of director am I? He's, okay, you can talk about it.
Your name is Bulldog.
And then they said to me, finally, okay, we give you three conditions for Brando. One, he does the film for free. Two, he does a screen test. And three, he puts up a $1 million bond. So if any misbehaving on the set happens, he is underwritten. He is under. I said, I accept.
Conditions that are impossible. Coppola was going to make it happen.
So that's what I had. I had that he had to do it for nothing. He had to do a screen test. How was I going to get Marlon Brando to do a screen test? And he had to put up a bond. So I went, I talked to Brando. I didn't know Brando, but, you know, I think he was pretty down and out. He had been in a film called Quemada, Burn, which by Pontecorvo, who made the great Battle of Algiers. And he was, like, so not in favor that they really thought that if he were in the movie, it would be worse than if an unknown were in the movie.
Can you imagine?
So with Brando, I talked to him knowing he was an actor. I said, you know, I said, you're playing an Italian. Maybe you would like to fool around a little and improvise some things to see if you could get the essence of an Italian. You know, he was only 47 years old, and the character Godfather is in his 60s. So he, on the phone, I think he said yes, he would do that. And I made a date with him to go to his house and shoot a little and do a little improvisation.
You can see how he's prodding him, just like Tommy Lasorda motivated and prodded Oral Hershiser to become a bulldog. And he did.
Sure enough, there's a rumble and he's going to come, and the door opens and out walks this beautiful man with long blonde hair and a Japanese robe, and I'm shooting him. And I say, good morning, and you know, he was as sharp as a tack. He knew everything. He looked around, he saw the ninjas, and he knew I was filming him. This was, quote, the screen test. But I had brought, like, some sazich and some provolone and some Toscano cigars, and I had put these props around. And he came out, and he looked at all this, and he figured out what was going on.
He figured it out. He's filming him without filming him.
And he took his hair, and he did his hair up. He had very long blonde hair. And he did it up in a kind of thing himself in the back. And he took shoe polish, and he made it black. And then he put on a shirt, and he, I remember him saying, those guys, the lapel has always got a crooked part, you know. And he did that. He made the lapel, and he started to do that. And then he said, you know, he was shot in the throat. In the book, he was shot in the throat. So he talks like that, maybe. And I said, yeah, you know, I'm filming. And then he said, he should look like a bulldog. And he took some Kleenex, and he put the Kleenex, like that. And then he started, like, acting, but not saying anything. And it was in his house.
He's transforming into an Italian. Coppola's transforming him into the star that he needs him to be for this movie, just like Tommy figured out how to prod and change the name of Oral Hershiser and make him tough, because he could see his skill hidden behind the name Oral.
And when I'm shooting, and we're all shooting, and he starts going, and the phone rings. His phone rings over here. I don't know who's calling, but he goes, so, at any rate, it was a miraculous transformation. It was the birth of that character. Mm-hmm. So I figured I was going to play my cards. I wasn't going to show it to the president of Paramount Pictures. I went to New York with the videotape.
Ah.
And I went to the office of Gulf and Western. Charlie Bluthorn was the head of the company, and he was the big boss.
An oil company owning the head of the movie studio. He's no dummy, Francis Ford Coppola, because he doesn't need the studio to say no to him. He went to the oil company. And this is what happened.
And I knocked on his office. I had set up a tape recorder in the conference room near his office. And I said to him, does Mr. Bluthorn have 5 minutes that I could show him something? And he knew me. I mean, Charlie Bluthorn, it was Church of England, but he had a Viennese accent. And He talked like, Francis, what are you doing, you crazy Francis? So he sees me, and he says, what is it? I said, Charlie, could I just show you something? And he comes out, and he looks. I turn on the video thing, and there is this guy with blonde hair, and Charlie Bluder. I said, no, no, absolutely. That's incredible. And when he said that's incredible, and it was incredible, I knew that if Charlie Bluthorn okayed it, then it would okay. And that's how he got the part. They forgot about the $1 million bond, but they didn't hardly pay him anything. They paid him like $120,000.
And Tommy Lasorda saw Earl Hershiser break Drysdale's record. I just love it. The creativity. It's the Italian and then the American. Let's go back to the pizza idea. Here's the man who's been making pizzas since 1963 in Brooklyn, the best pizza in America, DeFara's. Listen to his philosophy through his broken English, but you get the point in a hurry.
When you do something you like to do, it's okay. And then if you force it to do, you know, change feeling. I do because I want to do, you know.
I do it because I want to do it. That's what you want in your life. You want to be a little bit Italian, a little bit Mexican, a little bit Chinese, a little bit Filipino, a little bit Korean, a little bit Russian, a little bit Persian, a little bit Armenian. All of us, we want to be a little bit Italiano. That's what we want in life.
My love, how you dance the rumba. But take some advice, paisano. Learn how to mambo. If you're gonna be a square, you ain't gonna go nowhere. Hey, mambo, mambo Italiano. Hey, mambo.
Today I dedicate mambo the show go, go, to everyone you know who's slightly Italian. Steve Paletta's got a bunch of musical acts. And you'd be surprised, there's a little bit Italiano in them. Kind of like Adam Sandler in that Who's Jewish song. You're gonna find out, what? He has a little Italiano in him? Today's show, dedicated to the Italian-American. Coming up next, we got to talk about Boogie Cousins. How could he be playing 6 weeks after a quad injury? How do we fix that? We'll get into some surgery I did this week as well. I did an ACL on a young kid. But because I waited to do his surgery, guess what happened? His meniscus tear healed itself. So all I had to do is fix his ACL. Why did that happen? I'll explain. Coming up next, the clinic's open. The number's 877-710-ESPN. You're listening to the one and only Weekend Warrior Show here on ESPN LA 710. Madonna. She's Italian. Borderline. But she's a real Italian, not a borderline Italian. The song is called Borderline. And speaking of Dr. Smokey Clapper, yesterday, you know, that you mention it, Steve Paulette, one of the knee replacements I did when I went into pre-op and opened the curtain to say hi before the surgery, patient said, can I call you Dr. Smokey Clapper? I look and I go, do you listen to the show? Of course, Dr. Clapper. It was fantastic.
Dr. Clapper.
It's so much fun. Each and every Saturday. Doesn't get better than this. Get to spend 2 hours with you guys. The zest for life. To love life. That's what it's all about. Life is to be excited about. Not just get through the day. Come on. Just like what that DeFara pizza guy said. You got to do what you love to do. You want to take a call? You want me to tell some more stories? Okay. Boogie Cousins. What's fascinating about, and this always goes back to my dad being a carpenter, if you look at a piece of wood, there are grains in the wood, right? You see the knotty hole, but you see the beautiful wood and its features of these vertical grains in it. Well, your quadriceps muscle looks like that wood with grains, with these vertical lines going through it. My best clapper vision for you is take a box of dried spaghetti. It's an Italian show. We can go to clapper vision right there. Pound of spaghetti, right? It's in that box. You open the box, you take out, and there are those strands of spaghettis that you're all vertical. They're stiff. There's 100 of them in your hand right now before you put them in the pot to boil them up. If you now snap that box of spaghetti in half and you don't have glue, how are you going to sew them together? Well, that's exactly what I see when I've got to deal with a ruptured Achilles tendon or a ruptured quadriceps muscle. I got to figure out how to make those two halves of the spaghetti strands, which are now separated because they cracked in half, I have to lock them together. So if you put a stitch in with a needle and a thread and you go vertical, what are you sewing into? It's going to pull right out, right? You can imagine that. And it's no different for me as a surgeon. How do I sew two vertical things together? So the genius who came up with this idea, I just forever love him. What he came up with was the idea that you take the needle and thread, the sutures, and you go vertical, yes, between the spaghetti strands as you come up, even though it's going to pull right out. But now you take the needle and you go 90 degrees, a right angle, to the strand of spaghetti, the bunch of spaghettis. And now you bring the stitch back the other 90 degrees and you weave your stitches through the muscle at a 90 degree angle and then return to be straight up. Weave it again. We lock the stitches because we are grasping the strands in a 90 degree angle. This allows me to now pull on the muscle and either tie it to the other end of the tendon, or in the case of a quadriceps rupture, drill some holes in the patella, the kneecap bone, and weave those sutures back into the bone. And what is amazing is the bleeding that occurs is what you want, because you can't live on stitches. You want to inspire your body to bleed, make scar, and ultimately heal the tear back to the bone in the case of a quadriceps. And that is exactly why 6 weeks after he does have surgery, Boogie Cousins is back out there. Now, I think he's disruptive to their offense, and he's really not in the formula of Golden State, which is a problem. But you can't deny that guy can shoot, and he's big, and he's strong. And certainly we would love to have him as a Laker if that can happen one day. We'll see. All right, let's take some calls. Let's go to Robert in L.A. You're on with Dr. Clapper. How can I help?
Hello, how you doing?
How you doing, Robert? What do you do for a living?
I'm a correctional officer.
Nice. Thank you for all your keeping us safe. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
What did your dad do for a living?
A mechanic.
Why didn't you become a mechanic?
Well, I do it, but...
You fix old cars?
Yes.
What's the oldest car you ever worked on?
A 1960 Impala.
Do you still have it?
No, I sold it.
Do you regret that?
Yes.
What color was that Impala?
Red and white.
Wow. I have a 63 Corvette. Can you imagine driving around in that car? It's the greatest thing in the world. Robert, that's what you have to do. You're 51 years old. You're going to retire someday. I need you to get that Impala back again for practically nothing and rebuild it. That's what you need to do in your retirement.
Yes.
Is that the plan?
Yes.
Good for you. Why the Impala? What is it that is so special to you about the Impala?
The way they made them.
Why? What? It's more than just the way the car looked, right? Or is it?
Yeah, but it's so easy to work on.
Yeah.
Make things so simple.
Right. You lift up the hood. I'm Jewish, and I can actually understand where the distributor cap is and where the wires go. Go lift the hood of a brand new Corvette. You have no idea. You need a computer to understand what the hell's going on. And this is the beauty of Tommy Lasorda. Are you a Dodger fan, Robert?
Yes.
This is the beauty of Tommy Lasorda being a manager, because there's no sabermetrics, there's no computer. He's that 1960 Impala that you lift up the hood and he understands what each and every player does. And even the players themselves don't even know the skill that they have, right? That was the beauty of Tommy Lasorda.
I remember.
You remember. I got to play the soundbite again because you've inspired me.
When I thought about him when he came here and I saw him
Oral
pitch
Hershiser.
The way he pitched, I thought that he didn't have much inside here. He was a negative pitcher. Every ball he threw with a negative attitude.
Can you imagine analyzing that?
And then I had that famous one-on-one meeting with him. I told him he was scared. I didn't like his name. I think he should be given another name. So I said, you pitched yesterday like a scared dog.
A scared dog.
So from now on, your name is Bulldog. I'm going to call you Bulldog, and you'll be a Bulldog. Wow. And you'll act like a Bulldog.
Wow.
And that's what happened. He acted like a Bulldog, and he changed and pitched like a Bulldog. And of course, we broke a record that I never thought would be broken. Drysdale's 58 and two-thirds inning.
Look at the insight, Robert, into what Tom... What exactly does that mean, you pitch scared? Trust me, that's not anything in these cybermetric computers. But that's what Tommy Lasorda saw, and he immediately had a plan. He hatched an idea that nobody would have come up with, and Oral Hershiser became a whole different pitcher and won the World Series for the Dodgers. Incredible, right, Robert?
Yes.
All right, how can I help you? Enough small talk. Let's talk about you. What's up?
I had got an MRI on my left hip.
Mm-hmm.
They told me it was osteoarthritis.
Yes.
But I have no pain.
Great.
I still play basketball, do everything. But if I bend over and lift my leg up and not using the muscle like sometimes and let it hang, mm-hmm. it feels like a shot goes through my body.
All right. Let me tell you what to do. First of all, when's your birthday?
March.
Oh, so you just had it. I want you to buy yourself a late birthday present, okay?
Yeah.
There's a book I wrote with Linda Huey. It's called Heal Your Hips.
Yes.
We give the money to the homeless. So go ahead and get it. You do enough goodwill with your life, but I'm just telling you. In the book, I spent 2 years writing this book with her. It's all about how not to have surgery. Someone exactly like you, Robert, I'm not interested in monkey business shots and pills, shampoos that are going to tell me that hair's going to grow on top of my head. Be careful with what people promise you, with what they can give you with a pill and a shot, okay? Be careful. Be holistic. You don't have to have surgery. There is no clock ticking. You are not making surgery harder for me to do by waiting, and you're not making it harder for you to recover from by waiting. So no one's allowed to push you around, Robert. How tall are you and how much do you weigh?
6 feet and I weigh about 200.
Yeah, nobody's messing with you anyway. I can tell already. But don't let them. I'm deputizing you right now as an honorary orthopedic surgeon, and you tell them, no, I'm not having a cortisone shot. I'm not doing all of those things they're going to suggest for you. I need you to respect the basketball you love to do. At 51, I'm here to tell you, is an abuse. Why? Mike Krzyzewski had his hip replaced. Larry Brown had his hip replaced. Phil Jackson has had his hip replaced. Basketball, and I took care of Will Chamberlain's hip. Basketball is pounding, and it leads to damage to the... And here's a clap revision for you. What is osteoarthritis? You didn't just wear out the brake pad in your hip. You now are squeaking brakes because the rotor is damaged. Capiche?
Yeah. Yes.
So that's what you deal. That's what osteoarthritis means. So it's not just the level of the brake pad. It's deeper than that. But that doesn't mean you have to have an operation. And I don't want you to give up the basketball. So Monday, Wednesday, Friday, half an hour. That's all I'm asking. I need you to join a gym that has a pool. And I want you to walk simple forwards and then backwards. Forwards, backwards. Don't turn around when you get to the end of the wall of the pool. For a half an hour, and you are not going to feel better in 2 weeks. Give this a month, Robert, and I promise you, can't guarantee anything in life, I promise you, you will feel better than today so that you can abuse your body playing basketball.
Okay.
You must do nurturing exercises, Robert, so you can now abuse and enjoy your life with the basketball. Yes, the book will help you, the pool will help you. That's what I need you to do going forward. If it acts up, you'll call me back and we'll talk.
Okay.
Robert, I want you to do me a favor. Find a total stranger today. Do something nice for them. That's how you'll be thanking me.
I sure will.
All right. God bless you. All right. We'll take a break. We'll pay some bills. All the lines are lit up. Hang on the line, Stephen, Jose, Manuel, John and Montebello, hang on. I'll get to all of you. Got a lot of clap revisions to do. I'm looking forward to it. The number is 877-710-ESPN. Oh, wow. What a beautiful voice. Alicia Keys. That song she does about New York with Jay-Z is one of my favorite. Well, her mother's Italian. Thank you. Mambo Italiano right here. The great Alicia Keys. All right, let's do some, we'll open the clinic, do some clap revision. Let's go to John in Montebello. You're on with Dr. Clapper. How can I help?
How's it going, doctor?
Good. What do you do for a living, John?
Warehouse.
What do you do in the warehouse?
Commercial refrigeration parts.
Just the parts. You don't have the whole refrigerator.
Yeah, just the parts.
Do you appreciate what a miracle it is that you have the ability to make something cold?
Amen.
Do you actually understand completely how that process works?
Not completely.
Because my father, who was born in 1915, my mom was born in 1920, they used to talk to me about the Iceman, that they actually had an ice box, and some guy in a truck used to drive through the neighborhood, and he'd get out of his truck and bring a giant block of ice, come into your house, and put it into this ice box, and that was your refrigerator. Can you imagine?
Oh, yeah.
And I don't quite understand how Freon makes things cold. So it must, you know, I need you to explain this to me one day, John. That'll be great. What did your father do for a living?
My father was a mechanic.
Why didn't you become a mechanic?
It's a long story.
How about your grandfather? What did he do?
My grandfather, I'm not exactly sure. That's a long story, too.
Boy, you got a lot of long stories, John. Okay. All right, tell me what I can do. How did you hurt yourself? How can I help you?
Well, yeah, I got narrowing of the nerves on my back.
Lower back or your neck?
My lower back.
Got it.
And I have arthritis in my lower back.
Yes.
And I also have a slight tear on one of my discs in my lower back.
How tall are you? How much do you weigh?
I'm 240 and I'm about 5'10 and a half.
So if you're 240 pounds, unless you're telling me you're as tall as Kevin Durant, there's a problem.
Yes.
You not only work with refrigerators, you're kind of built like a refrigerator. I hate to tell you this, John. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Right. It may say Frigidaire right across your forehead over here. All right. This stresses on your lower back are enormous.
Right.
Do you listen to the show? You know what a clap revision is?
Not really. Talk to me.
Have you never heard the show before? This is the first time you're listening to the show?
No, I've heard the show and I try to get on, but...
Okay. So a clap revision is, I'm going to explain to you what the MRI, what the X-ray, what all this mumbo jumbo means with something that you can totally relate to. Okay?
Okay.
You know what a bow and arrow is, right?
Correct.
Robin Hood, the old days where they used to take Sherwood Forest. He took out a bow and then he took out an arrow from his quiver and he shot. They didn't have guns in those days. This is how they got people. The arrow, which is what I want to focus on, is a wooden shaft. And the point of the arrow in those days, if they were lucky, it was a triangular piece of metal. But most likely, it actually was a piece of flint rock that they would find and shape it to be triangular shaped. And then they would use catgut because they didn't have thread. They'd let the gut dry out, so it became like a string. And they figured out how to wrap the gut around the rock arrow, the flint, onto the wooden shaft. Okay? You follow me?
Okay. I'm following you.
So now I want you to take that arrow, the shaft, the wooden shaft, and take it in your hand and stick it into the ground so that it's sticking straight up out of the ground. So the wooden shaft is sticking straight up and the arrow is buried into the dirt. Capiche?
Capiche.
When the arrow, and so here's the metaphor, here's the clap revision. Your disc, your spines, It's like a stack of Oreo cookies. The bone is the cookie. The cream filling of the stack of Oreo cookies is the disc. The stack of Oreo cookies is that straight wooden shaft, okay? Beautifully lined up. The junction between the end of your spine, your lumbar spine, L5, hits a triangular, totally fused bone that doesn't have cream filling called the sacrum, and it fits into your pelvis bone like that triangular arrowhead is in the dirt, okay? Can you imagine if the shaft of the arrow was 5 times wider than a skinny little piece of wood? Every time you try and wiggle that shaft while it's stuck in the dirt, if it weighs so much and it is so thick, the stresses on that catgut at the junction between the arrowhead and the shaft is immense. You're not reversing the arthritis, just like the hair on top of my head ain't growing back anymore. That's a given. You got this from your grandfather, who we're not going to talk about because it's a long story, but he gave you the DNA to make this arthritis. You have nothing to say about that. There's no pill, there's no stem cell, there's no shot that's going to reverse that. And don't have an epidural. That's cortisone. But what is in your power, John, to help this junction see less stress? 2 things. 1, you got to make that skinny shaft skinny again, because then there's less stress on the ligaments, the catgut, if you will, that's junctioning the shaft to the arrowhead. That's 1 thing you can do. And I don't think you're going to be able to do this by just stop eating bread. You need to go to Weight Watchers, Jenny Craig, Lindora. You need to be in a program. It's worth it, because you're going to have diabetes, you're going to have a heart attack, and we need you to be around for a long period of time. So this is a big deal. You need to take some weight off, and you need to be in a program. Otherwise, it ain't going to happen. And 2, you need to strengthen the muscles that are not getting strengthened by working in that warehouse. So 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, you're going to join 24-Hour Fitness, go to the Y, belly button high water, you're going to walk forwards and backwards, and it ain't going to make you better in 2 weeks. It's going to take the whole summer. Forwards, backwards, that's all I'm asking you to do. I'm not sending you to a therapist or a chiropractor, and they're great, but it's temporary. You need to get rid of this pain and keep it from coming back again. Putting less stress on that valuable junction between your spine and your sacrum by weight loss and strengthening with the pool is how you're going to take care of this, okay?
Sounds good to me.
John, I want you to do me a favor today. Find a total stranger and do something nice for them. That's how you'll be thanking me.
Will do.
All right, God bless you, and thanks for listening. All right, we'll take a break, pay some bills. I got to tell you, if any of you have a torn meniscus in your knee, I need you to understand something that might save you from surgery. I'll get into that coming up next on the Weekend Warrior Show here on ESPN LA 710. Cindy Lauper, Steve Paulette, oh my God. Are you saying she's part Italian as well? What a great topic. What a great theme. Italiano. Girls just want to have fun. That was a talent. Cindy Lauper. Fantastic. You know, she got approached by Harvey Fierstein to create the music for the Broadway show Kinky Boots. Oh, 40 years later, he found her and said, I'm doing this Broadway show and I need you to do the music. Let me tell you something. If you get a chance to go to New York and you get a chance, they're not expensive. TKTS, you can get tickets. Treat yourself. Go see Kinky Boots. It's one of the greatest shows you'll ever see. The music is amazing. Cindy Lauper. Good for her. All right. It was so exciting for me this week. The many surgeries that I did was to take care of a young guy, a 20-year-old basketball player who tore his ACL. And I learned a long time ago that when you tear your ACL, and usually you tear your meniscus along with it, you want to wait You don't want to have surgery immediately. Let the swelling come down. Let the range of motion return. And I, if it's my opinion, you know, there's other people entitled to their opinion, but I love letting people get the swelling down and the range of motion. So I usually make them wait, and usually there's bruising in the bone as well. I make them wait 6 weeks before I'll do the surgery. And in that process, sometimes you really get lucky. The ACL won't heal because the joint fluid doesn't let that ligament heal. It's kind of like trying to heal a cut on your forearm in a swimming pool. The joint fluid doesn't let a bleeding and a scab take place like it would if you were not underneath the water in a swimming pool. The joint fluid in your knee prevents the ACL from healing on its own. It just does. But if there's associated tears in the meniscus, and here's the key. This is what I want you to ask your doctor. If you have a torn meniscus and you've had an MRI, this will really make me feel very proud of you. You ask them, where in my meniscus is the tear and what kind of tear is it? It's just like real estate. Location, location, location. Here's a clap revision for your meniscus. It's a slice of apple pie. If the tear is in where the crust of the apple pie is, the rim, that we call the red zone because it's rich in blood supply. And if you get a vertical tear in the red zone, you have a good chance of healing. And if you wait, like I did with this young boy, oh my God, when I finally got to look inside his knee, expecting to have to put stitches and repair his meniscus because he's so young, I didn't have to do anything. It had healed on its own because it was a vertical tear in the red zone. If it is an oblique tear, a radial tear, these are different kinds of tears. And this is all, by the way, in the book I wrote with Linda Yu, Heal Your Knees. So you'll see drawings and descriptions of this. It's really great. But you need to ask your doctor. Location, because you want to know if it's in that beautiful spot, the red zone, and you want to know if it's vertical. If it is, you may have hit the jackpot, and I would want you to sit tight and not run to have surgery because there's a chance you could heal that, which would be fantastic.
It's always, absolutely.
It's great to do surgery. Let me tell you, this is something I love. It's part of me. It's a privilege, really, for 30 years to be a surgeon. But I get just as much of a kick if you don't have to have surgery, right? That's the key in life. Just remember this. The softest pillow to sleep on at night is a clear conscience. That's the best pillow to sleep on. That you know you did the right thing. In whatever you do, be a mensch. That's the key. I also did surgery on a person, a guy who had his ACL done, and his whole knee became arthritic. And taking out those screws that they had put in, oy vey, because if the threads in the screw that they put in were stripped, I put the screwdriver in to back it out. Thank you. It doesn't work. It is not easy taking out screws where the screwdriver no longer engages the head. But this is why I love being the son of a carpenter. Because I learned a lot of how to deal with nails and screws that were broken. God bless Snap-on tools, wherever you are. This easy out set that you have. It's just fantastic to be able to go grow up seeing how tools work and then become a doctor who uses tools in the operating room. Doesn't get better than that.
This is pretty cool.
Exactly right. Well, today's topic has really been a joy for me. I'm looking forward, if I have time, to talk about Michelangelo as well because he's my favorite Italian. But the show is all about, really, a dedicated show to Tommy Lasorda. Because the Dodgers winning the way they're winning, and Dave Roberts deserve all the credit. So does Andrew Friedman. But I just love thinking about the past. In 1988, the last time they did win the World Series, and I can't help thinking about the great Tommy Lasorda and how he saw life and saw his players in a way that other people didn't see them. And coming up next, I'll explain what makes Tommy Lasorda, an Italian-American, bridging the Italian and the American, that gives you that confidence, that cleverness, that playfulness in life, combined with the American risk-taking. Where in art do we see it? Well, the movie's The Godfather, and how Francis Ford Coppola made it happen. But I also want to talk about my favorite catcher of all time, Yogi Berra. You know all those Yogi Berra-isms? He came up with the one, it ain't over till it's over. And sometimes he didn't like when they said that about him, made fun of him. So he then said, I really didn't say everything they said I said. But we'll get into Reggie Jackson telling what a great story about Yogi Berra and his isms. Coming up next on the Weekend Warrior Show here on ESPN LA 710.